You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
First of all, thank you for being here today, because you could have said, nah, I'll be out of town. But you said, okay, because you've always been good to us and straight up. You're a good man. Everyone likes you. You're a decent and kind dude, it seems to me.
Thank you.
And you're stuck in a really bad position right now. You're the guy in charge. This is happening on your watch. But as Mr. Mackin just kind of ran down, this may go back a lot farther than even you were aware of. Now, this Tresvant thing was a pretty damning thing. The allegations, some of them have been proven to be true. Some are still in question. But this goes on now from one school to eight schools. And it may be more widespread than is known by anybody. When's the first time that you heard about this and thought, well, is this just some rogue people? Is just some bad seeds, some bad teachers covering their butt? These people work in a culture of pressure to meet certain goals. The kids feel that pressure, and the principals do, and they're just trying to achieve. So when you hear about this, and certainly you have, what do you do about it?
Well, first, thank you for having me on. I appreciate you. I think, like you said, Drake, I think that I'm obviously the CEO of the school system, so everything that happens, I'm accountable for. And I think that leaders lead. We don't shy away, so we have to. I think we owe it to the public to let the public know what we know. I think with regard to your question, the first, obviously, that I heard about this whole scenario was September of last year. And when we heard about it, when he got to Tresvant last year, he uncovered some discrepancies in transcripts. He let us know immediately. We immediately reached out to the state. We started digging. And it was clear back in September of last year that, people had changed grades at Tresvant. We terminated the lady who changed the grades, suspended the coach, and tried to see if we could find information or evidence on him, which we ultimately couldn't at that time. And we're in conversation with the state the whole way because I knew that this was a serious deal. I think that fast forward, Ronnie leaves, resigns, and then he sent his letter. I think at the end of the day, our job certainly is to figure out when problems arise, solutions. So, this is ongoing. We know that this is very serious. And, I don't think that, anybody is going to get a pass here, right? Like, we basically commissioned probably, Drake, one of the most transparent and exhaustive investigations ever. We've been very transparent about the results. And we're going to go where the evidence leads. And anybody who is found to have engaged in any of this stuff is going to be fired.
How many? Well, there are just so many questions here. Yeah. The scope of this could be pretty intense, and this group that is doing this audit for the entire system, are they going into every school, every teacher, every computer file to look at what has been changed, what has been done? Does this give somebody at these schools any time to undo what they have done? This might go on for months.
So let me tell you about the investigation specifically, because there were two things going on. You had the specific Tresvant investigation.
Yeah.
And then also what we did was, in working with the state, remember I told you in September we got with the state. So we decided we would have this auditing firm come in and look to see where there are abnormally high numbers of grade changes. So they came in, they looked at all of the material in terms of every grade change that was made in all the schools. And they flagged, I think, 9 schools. They also were able to flag the users who actually made the grade changes. So what they're doing now is they'll go into all of these schools where there were these high numbers of grade changes, and they'll talk to people who actually made the grade changes. Now, what I want to say, Drake, is that I hope people don't rush to judgment as to what happened, because there are a number of reasons for legitimate grade changes, right?
Right.
You've got You know, one of the things that I hear the most
make up work and such.
All of that, exactly. Like you have, may have a Saturday school. You may have, you know, people with different IEPs and things of that nature. So what they're going to do now is check to see whether the documentation is there for the grade changes. If the documentation isn't there, it's going to be a problem. If it is there, that may lead to different conclusions. So I think it's too early to say just because there were grade changes, something was going wrong. But certainly we know from Tresvant that it's very possible.
Well, this there are grade schools. There are so many schools where these things may turn up some news that you don't want to see. How much do you think the athletes and those allegations of getting these young men, passed, they just have to get their grades passable, move them on up to college. There's some kind of connection there, some would suggest, between coaches and other coaches that, do deals and work stuff out. How many of these, the athletes involved in this, how much of it is athletics? How much of it is just kids that they wanted to pass and move along with no regard to what this does to this kid at the next level? You've already got these classrooms overcrowded. You don't want to hold kids back and further have that problem. There are just so many questions, from the athletes to the normal kids that weren't athletes, and how many athletes were given breaks that they shouldn't have gotten across the entire system.
Well, again, Drake, I think that the only confirmation, the only place we have evidence
is Tresvant.
Exactly. And I think that clearly what happened there was wrong. Kids were, you just can't do kids like that. I mean, like you should never do kids like that, because what happens is you rob the kids, you undermine
of a life.
Exactly. You because when you graduate, what you are certifying is that kids have mastered the material such that they deserve to graduate in our own track to keep moving in life. Particularly if kids are going to college, that there's no evidence that they're ready. So what happened there, by what we know now is a few bad apples at Tresvant, was disgusting.
1,000 grades were changed. That's a lot.
That is a lot. I mean, I think that, it just speaks to a culture that was happening at Tresvant. And, Tresvant's been our toughest school. We've had about 4 or 5 different principals over the last 4 or 5 years. But when something like that happens, Drake, there have to be a lot of people who are in on it. And what I want to say...
That's an honest comment, and that's the truth.
Yeah, you can't just randomly and haphazardly change grades, because there's so many different things that have to happen. You've got to have different passwords. You have to have different sign-offs. So clearly what was going on there, it was probably more than the people that we were able to ultimately hold accountable. But again, I don't want to rush to judgment, Drake, to just say that this is, across the district, all this stuff is happening.
Well, we hope not. Dorsey Hobson is our guest. We're discussing the Shelby County school system situation. This is quite complicated. This may take a long time before there's an answer done. But you face a thing here where you already have a shortage of teachers. There was 89, about 2 months ago? And that sort of begs the question, if this is, narrowed down to, teachers that were doing this, under and in the midst of this culture of pressure, you've got to achieve, you've got to get these kids passed, you've got to get these things done. And it's just kind of a, circular motion. It just keeps being passed around and passed around, teachers to principals and higher up. And you just continue this process, and everybody gets, caught up in it because of state funding, because of how they get judged as teachers and or principals. And everybody has to meet a level of achievement that doesn't seem to be outrageous. This, some of these grade floors are extremely low. And I was a little bit surprised and just taken aback after the board had that meeting about a month and a half ago, after some more allegations had popped up, and they met. And I guess the lady who is the chairman of the school board, Ms. Avant's comments were rather flippant, in that this is how things are done. We have no plans to change them. Everybody else does it, and I'm paraphrasing. But that was pretty much her attitude, is that this is how we do things, and everybody has their own little groove here, but we don't have any plans to change this, which I thought was a kind of a bad look. I may have not said that just right, but I was pretty close.
Well, let me just say, I think that you probably got sound bites, right? I know that Miss A. Van De Boer takes...
Oh, I read it, and I saw it on the news, too. So okay.
I think they take it very
contextually, perhaps.
Maybe that's the right word. I think at the end of the day, they were being asked about grade floors, if I recall the question. And let me just spend a couple minutes talking about that. I mean, you know, it's the right balance, right? Because here's what happens. If a kid gets a zero, you know, then the kid, you know, there's no chance for the kid to pass a grade, and then kids cut up during class, they skip class, they don't come, they become disruptive. So I think that what's happened, not just here but nationally, some school districts have said, all right, well, we want to at least create the circumstances where if a kid comes in and does some work, they at least have a chance to pass. So I think that what Ms. Avant and the board was referencing was, you know, we've got some policies on the books. We know that some schools do a different grade floor. We don't encourage people to pass kids who don't, you know, pass the class, but we do want to create a scenario where, you know, if you work hard and you can demonstrate that you've mastered the material and you put forth the extra effort, that you're not going to be just relegated to a zero grade.
Right.
Now, and I think a key thing when we even talk about grade floors, I mean, if you make a 60, it's still an F. You know, so whether it's a zero an F or 60 F, it's still an F. So I've talked to a lot of educators, and I think that people generally want to work with kids to make sure they can pass if they demonstrate that they mastered the class. So I think that's kind of the spirit of what they were talking about. But I also think that, you know, what we've learned through this is that the grade floors are all over the place, right?
Like some people may say 50. That was weird,
yeah, some people may say 50. Some people may say 65. And, you know, schools have some autonomy around the grade floor. So that's obviously a practice that if we're going to continue, we have to put in policy and make it
uniform across the system.
Exactly.
Because this, you know, it just doesn't need to be, you know, one way here and one way someplace else. That is a bad way to be inconsistent. That's not a good thing for these kids, and it just does them a great disservice in general. But the pressure in this gig is no, you know, shock to anybody in this city. Or, you know, it's a hard job, and the pressure is on everybody to achieve a certain thing from your place on down to these kids. Everybody has a goal to achieve.
But I will say too, Drake, pressure or no pressure, there is not enough pressure in the world for somebody to give a kid a false grade.
Well,
or to falsify any documents. I mean, it's just unacceptable. Like, look, we are in an era in schools across the country of high stakes accountability, right? We do all this testing. We have all these numbers and all that. And I think at the end of the day, it's all designed to get better student outcomes so the kids are college or career ready. But under no circumstances, you're not doing a kid any good if you don't give a kid what the kid earns. Because if you pass them along and they're not able to master material, it's just going to be a spiraling cycle. And we just simply can't do that.
Well, we have a problem with that in this town, and other towns do too. We turn these kids loose in the world, and they can't read, they can't write, and they make bad decisions because they just haven't had the right processes in their, you know, early life, and it's unfortunate. But this happens in lots of places. Atlanta, probably the most egregious case of people going to jail over this. What does the school board do?
In terms of?
Their daily function, or their function as people that work for you and keep their eyes out for you, I assume.
The school board or school district? Not school board. They don't work for me. You mean the district?
The Shelby County School, what are they? They're the board or the district?
So I'm trying to get clarification on your question. So they send
you. Miss Avant, who does she work for?
So I actually work for the school board.
Oh, so you work for them?
Yeah, they're the elected officials.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so they have reign over you.
They set all the policies, approve the budget, and hire the superintendent.
So you work for those people?
I do.
Oh, awesome. So we really can't get too nasty with them, can we?
No. Look, they, without exception, care deeply about their school district and care deeply about kids, and I think they're wrestling with the right balance of what to do in terms of policy changes, too. And I'll say to them, there are some, you know, good policies on the books. It's my job, though, to make sure people follow those policies.
Okay. So in the city, the mayor doesn't have the power the city council does. In the county, the mayor has the last word, not the commission. So in this case, the school board is who you answer to.
That's correct.
When the time comes.
That's correct.
And you're at their meetings and everybody's talking, and nobody ever brought this up the past year to the level of a severity that everybody seemed to know was coming. They just didn't want to approach you with it. They wanted to keep it quiet, or they wanted to.
No, I mean, so we've been having an investigation on this. It's been going on the last 6 months.
Quietly?
Yeah, I mean, I want to go back to June when the letter came out, and we commissioned this broad investigation with the former U.S. attorney and all this. So, I mean,
right.
Like, we commissioned the investigation, and there was really not a lot to say until the results came back. So the results came back in December, and we released them publicly. I mean, I really want to applaud them because, you know, people can't say they weren't transparent. I mean, we had a 285-page report that we released to the public. Yeah, we released to the public. So I think that the level of transparency and the level of digging, I think, shows that there's a strong desire there to make sure that we figure out what happened so that we can put forth the proper plan to make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, the ultimate goal here, I suspect, from the auditors is going to be to find the people who did this, and it'll take some time to do that. But as mentioned early on in this interview, it is my observation, and you hear people talk about the people who have been in this system for too long and need to move along, who may be the impetus for some of these problems that go back a long time. Let me ask you this. Our guest is from the Shelby County Schools, Dorsey Hobson, the superintendent who works for the school board. All the things we learn on this radio show. How do you think the public reacted when about a day after all these allegations were flying around that you were given a raise? Not to say that you didn't deserve it. I don't begrudge anybody making money. Believe me, no one does. People with your job ought to make good money just to kind of even out the stress. It was a vote of confidence, I suppose, for you. The teachers got their raise back in June, July, and you were due for one as well. But it was put off, I guess, until the end of the year. But the timing of it was what people thought was a little bit not unusual, but just kind of raised an eyebrow. Was it an attempt to make you happy and to make you not resign in the midst of this madness? Or was it just due and the timing was unfortunate?
I think it was just due and the timing was unfortunate. If you recall correctly, you may not know, Drake. So back in May of 2017, the board initially gave an extension, and then
write a check. Let's go.
But what they did was, I think the chair at the time wanted to reconsider it to make sure they understood all the contract terms and all that. So that happened back in June, and then they hired their own lawyer. They wanted to review it and all that. And then so we got to the end of the year. My current contract called for some action around January. So I think that this was just really kind of fixing or resolving what had happened back in May.
Okay.
The timing, though, I agree. I mean, like,
the timing was a little sketchy, bro.
The timing was a little sketchy. Ironically, when they gave me the first extension and then this came out and then they wanted to relook at it again, it made it look like the two things were connected back then. And then here we go 6 months later, connected again, too. But,
well, I mean, it does make you think, well, all right, Dorsey has had it. He is done with this. He's packing his stuff and he's out. And, but they wanted to keep him. So this, well, again, unfortunate timing. And, you know, once again, I think that you can't always give the media a break in this stuff. They are complicit sometimes, I won't say in fake news, but in news that ends up distorted via sound clips, on TV especially. There's been so much discussion about this and so much concern among people This problem, I believe, goes way beyond you and before your time, and is now emerged, and the volcano has erupted slowly at first and may get even bigger. But I believe that you're the guy to walk them through this if they listen to you. So things that you suggest at board meetings, are they voted upon or debated or what? I mean, if they have the final say in this, then things that you want to do may not, you know, meet with their approval, and you may have some haranguing over this or not. I don't know how this works, but I bet there'll be some meetings going on here come January 2nd.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, I have broad latitude in terms of the administrative things that we can do to clean it up. I think that it could be buttressed by board policies that I know the board is thinking about or that they are thinking about. So, I mean, I think we, for the most part, are, we're in lockstep in the conclusion that this can never happen again. Like, it's happened, we've identified it, and we've got to clean it up. I think you hit the nail on the head, Drake. I'm from Memphis, and, you know, I think that there have always been rumblings since I was in high school about people doing this and people doing that. And, you know, when you get evidence and when you identify a problem, the question becomes, how do you respond to the problem? How do you put internal controls in to make sure it never happens again? And then how do you hold people accountable? And I think that's what the main focus is on. I think you got to do two things. You got to figure out, can you find the wrongdoers? You got to hold them accountable. But then moving forward, how do you make sure you put forward processes and structures to make sure it doesn't happen again? Because in addition to the horrible impact it has on kids, it just erodes the public trust. Look, we've been working our butts off for the last 4 years. You know, you go through a merger, you try to do all these things, you start getting some markers of success, you start to be able to go out and advocate for the school district, and then something like this happens, and people say, there you go again.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that is the erosion of confidence is not good for this school system, or the teachers, or you, or anybody else. Well, I suppose that this is 9 schools, and you want to get, you know, this, though, the fixing of this and putting in to place some new, you know, ways of doing things is all well and good. But what is this going to do to you and this system if this drags on for 6 more months to a year and they keep finding problems?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, we have to go where the evidence leads. I mean, I wish that there was a way that we could resolve it quickly, but I think getting it right getting it right is more important than doing it quickly. So, you know, I just ask the public again not to rush to judgment. Let's see where the evidence leads, and then whatever the facts are, then we'll have to deal with them as they come along. But hopefully, like, it's been 6 months. Like, this is actually, to your point, I mean, the first kind of wave of investigation lasted about 6 months.
Right.
And, you know, we were transparent, we were open, and it was thorough. So I want to make sure it's thorough so that we have all the facts.
Well, this is round one. I thank you again. This goes, you know, I'm just trying to run through my mind the names of people that were in your job before you took it, and they go back to Mr. Harrington and Kreiner Cash. Oh, the name, he just was gone with the wind. and then you stepped in, and it's been interesting with this transition, and I'm sure it's not been fun in many, you know, but I guess that the hope on this, optimistically, is that we will find the cancers and cut them out. For the sake of these, I mean, these kids are what matter. And it's just a horrible thing to turn these kids loose into the world with no education. And if that's the fault of some teacher or somebody that is, you know, doing this for their own, you know, gain, that's just got to stop. And this whole thing needs to be rectified. We will not judge too quickly. And I think it is worthy of note again to mention how many good people teach and work in this system.
Absolutely.
And I know them. I know many of them who love these kids and have given their entire, you know, lives to this situation. They should not be judged and tossed in with the rest of them.
And let me just say that to that point, Jake. So we've got, you know, probably 99% of our folks come to work and do exactly what they're supposed to do every day and leave it all in these schools on behalf of kids. But you can have a small percentage of people, you know, they have just such a lasting and big impact. And yep. I think that point you just made, I mean, you know, the overwhelming majority of our people come to work. They have hearts for kids. They do the right thing. And I don't want them to be smeared because of the actions of a few. And I think as we talk too, Drake, just that's why I think, it, again, you want the public to not rush to judgment because, you know, the headline comes, you know, just, you know, Shelby County Schools. But this is, I mean, we had Arlington High School was one of the schools with one of the high numbers of grades. We had some charter schools. So I think that I don't want people to just make the leap that grades were changed and there's something nefarious was going on. I mean, again, let's see if these were legitimate grade changes. And if they weren't, then let's deal with that.
Well, I suspect that you will and that the board will. Is the board up for re-election next year?
I think there are a handful of seats up next year.
I bet you hear something about that on the news and elsewhere in various media outlets. That's my guess, that there are those that will want to contest the position of some of these people and try to change things themselves by running for these seats. But
Drake, I do again. I do want to just be clear in that, you know, everything I've seen from this board has been around. We need to fix this. I mean, I don't think anybody's wanted to sweep anything under the rug. Anybody's wanted to do anything except for fix and hold accountable.
They have no choice right now. They've got to, and there's no ambiguity there whatsoever. It's come to light. It may continue to be discussed, and more may come to light. But as long as the attitudes are in the right places and everybody is doing their job, then we hope that the outcome is positive for you and for these kids especially.
Most importantly, the kids.
I thank you again for not, you know, saying no thanks, I'll pass. Thank you.
I appreciate you.
I think that you're trying to do the best that you can with what you have to work with. In some cases, it's, you know, probably not your choice, but it is what it is right now, and we'll see how it goes. And we'll check back in with you in a few months and see how you feel about the progress.
I appreciate it.
Is that fair?
That's very fair.
Dorsey, thank you, man.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you. That is our friend Dorsey Hobson. And he came in today and spoke about this, and we thank him for doing that. He didn't have to, but he did.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.